where Westport comes for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show, now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. We're continuing to talk about Omicron. Joining us right now is Dr. Deborah Spicehandler of Northern Westchester Hospital. She is the head of infectious diseases there, the gal that knows all about this. 203-333-9422 is our number if you have any questions. The doctor is in. Good morning, Dr. Spicehandler. Thanks for calling in today. Good morning.
So everybody has lots of questions. Unfortunately, I don't have all the answers yet. I don't think anyone has the answers yet. This is an evolving story, as you well know. And what I will say is that, of course, it's of concern, and we need to heighten our precautions again. We need to start masking up again because it has now been shown to be in multiple countries, and we don't yet know if it has hit the U.S. as far as I know as of this morning, but maybe here. And we need to get vaccinated. One thing isn't certain yet, and it'll take, they say, maybe one more week to figure out if the vaccine is effective against this new variant, and that's important information. But we do know that everybody should get boosters if they've already been vaccinated, and if they haven't been vaccinated, they should be vaccinated. This is right now one of our biggest biggest use to prevent the spread of the virus is to get vaccinated.
Dr. Spicehandler, I just got my booster on Sunday. I have a question for you.
Sure.
If it turns out that this particular variant, that the vaccines I've taken are not going to really work that well against the variant, at what point am I not supposed to take any more vaccines? In other words, I, as a human being, at what point is the tipping point? I've now taken 3 vaccines for COVID within the last year. At what point are you as a doctor going to say to me, you know what, Lisa, maybe we should, even if this vaccine is a better one for COVID, I don't want you taking a 4th vaccine within X amount of time. Or is that no such thing? That's my question.
Yeah, I would say that's no such thing.
Okay.
If this vaccine isn't working, if they find that, they will start working on a new vaccine to combat the variant, the new variant, the Omicron variant. But as I've heard, it'll take several months. So while that's happening, of course, we have to be careful. But it's like flu vaccine. They change the mix of what's in the flu vaccine every year because there are different strains out there. It may be that that's what we're going to see in the future for COVID, that it will keep mutating and changing, and we'll have to keep up with new vaccines that cover that year's strain. It may be that we're dealing with COVID for a long time, but hopefully it'll go from epidemic or pandemic precautions to endemic precautions, which means it's something we deal with, but we can keep it in bay with vaccinations. And also, there are now medications to treat people with COVID. They are about to approve one drug, I guess, within this week. And then there's another drug that will combat the infection once you get it. So I think we're looking at COVID being around for a while now. I don't think we're going to get rid of COVID that fast.
We're chatting with Dr. Deborah Spicehandler. I have to tell you, doctor, I don't think anybody thought we were going to get rid of COVID that fast. I think the question is going to be, what kind of society are we going to have in a COVID world? I think that's what we're grappling with. For example, I saw Dr. Amos Oz, who lives in Westchester, by the way. I guess he now lives in Pennsylvania or at some point had a connection to Pennsylvania. But last time I checked in, he was living in Westchester. He's just decided to run as a Republican in an open nomination for to become the next senator in Pennsylvania. And he's running, Dr. Spicehandler, on the platform that people, the elites, he calls them, have mishandled the response to COVID, and they have taken away our freedom, and they have not properly handled COVID.
We all know what that's about, but I won't comment on political campaigns. But the science speaks for the science, and the science is that we've done unbelievable rapid progress in getting a vaccine so quickly. You know, a lot of other vaccines took a very long time to develop. This one they did in
It's unbelievable.
Very short time.
Very short time.
Very short time. And now they have the way to adjust the vaccine. If you're listening to the Pfizer and Moderna CEOs, they're able to tweak these new vaccines to cover other variants, but it does take a little bit of time. But to run a campaign saying we haven't done enough, I do think that when COVID first came back in 2020, we didn't do enough. We didn't mask up. We took off our masks too soon. We did things that probably we shouldn't have done. And we didn't know enough information at the time that it was going to mutate. I guess it was that period after the initial bout of the Alpha variant that we all said, oh, if you're vaccinated, you could take your mask off. And maybe that was a mistake.
Dr. Spice Handler, are we going to be wearing masks forever? I mean, is that what you're saying? Because I don't think people.
I hope not.
Well, but I mean, you're. You know what it is?
I think we are going to wear masks until we can get a certain level of immunity in our world. And what's happened is that the virus is beating us. The virus is mutating before we can get enough people vaccinated so that we have this sort of, it's no longer called herd immunity, but we have this ambient immunity that we can feel that we can change it to an endemic. I think we're in a race with the virus right now. And I think we can help by doing our part and trying to get the vaccine. And hopefully, if they have to develop a new vaccine and we have to take another shot, we'll take it. So we can live normal lives again.
Let me ask you this, because you know more than I do. Mm-hmm. And this is an ugly question, but it's a question that a lot of people want to know the answer to. Mm-hmm. Who's dying from COVID right now? Who is literally dying? Who's literally getting hospitalized? Who is getting severely sick from COVID?
Okay. The people who are getting the sickest from COVID are the unvaccinated, no question. They're the people dying. There are some cases of people who've had two vaccines, not three. I haven't heard any three vaccines, boosters dying. But there are some people who've had vaccination who are dying, but they all have very severe underlying medical problems, immune suppression for various reasons. But the young and healthy that we're hearing about that are dying, they're not vaccinated. They're filling up the beds and they're not vaccinated. And that's what we're hearing about now.
We're chatting with Dr. Deborah Spice Handler of Northern Westchester Hospital, who is the lead doctor of infectious diseases there. Let's go to Mark from New Haven. Mark, you have a question for the doctor. She's in today. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm just wondering why they keep screwing this up, intentionally. The vaccines obviously aren't working because they keep getting mutations that are beating the vaccine. So why don't they just give everybody ivermectin, zinc, and vitamin D, and then it'll cure it in, one day?
The scientific data is that those don't work. And the reason that the vaccines do work, they make this disease not severe. So most people who are vaccinated do not get severe disease, and most don't get hospitalized. So they are working. There is a new variant, and we don't know yet what that means. But right now, the vaccines are keeping people out of the hospital. Most people who are vaccinated who still get COVID, which is a small number, are not requiring to be in the hospital. The people in the hospital are the people who did not get vaccinated.
So let me ask you this, doctor. We're chatting with Dr. Deborah Spice Handler, 203-333-9422. And maybe this isn't a question for you to answer in terms of maybe it's a larger policy question, but if we offer the vaccine to people and they don't want to take it, and then they take a risk of getting this severe disease, for the rest of us who are very ready, willing, and able to take the vaccines and believe the science, embrace it, and are grateful for it, and I'm in that category, by the way, there is a feeling among the group of us sometimes resenting the changes that we have to make in our life to accommodate people who don't want to take advantage of what's being offered to help them right in front of them. Which is to say the masking.
Understood.
Which is to say the masking, right? So if I'm vaccinated and I protected myself and I'm in a room and I don't have one of these other issues, and if I have them, I should keep my mask on all the time. I get that. But if I don't, if I'm a basically healthy person, why should I be forced to constantly wear a mask everywhere if I've done everything that I could possibly do to stay healthy and take the vaccines?
I agree with you. I was somewhere last week, and someone was sitting there in a waiting room and no mask, and said he doesn't believe in the vaccine. And he was wearing no mask, and I was wearing my N95 mask because he wasn't wearing his mask, and I knew he wasn't vaccinated. But this is a dilemma for all of us, and there is even a discussion about who should get the new medications that are out there, and should it be given to people who didn't get vaccines? It's a whole political discussion, which I won't get into. But, of course, there's a lot of ethical dilemmas about all this, and these all need further discussion. But from a medical point of view, we know that the science says that the vaccines are working. They're not 100%. No one says that. But they certainly diminish the level of disease that you get. And hopefully that will more people get vaccinated and we'll have a lower level of disease, which we can handle like we handled the flu every year.
Okay. I guess that's what it's about. It's the lower level in terms of the overwhelming of the healthcare system. Because
exactly.
if I get COVID-19, I'm 61 years old, I'm in poo-poo, very good health otherwise, I'm going to get well. Like, I'm going to be fine. I'm not going to be hospitalized. I mean,
exactly.
Overwhelmingly, statistically, even my doctor said to me, Lisa, I'm not worried about you. I'm not worried about you. You get COVID, you're going to get well. So,
but the person who's 61 who doesn't have a vaccine may not get well.
Yeah.
So that's the difference.
That's the difference. We're chatting with Dr. Deborah Smyth-Hansler. I wanted to ask you something else, doctor, because I was just reporting before you came on the 13-10 decision of the FDA yesterday to go ahead and approve as an emergency authorization this. I'm calling it the Tamiflu for COVID. This one invented
right.
by Merck.
The Merck drug?
Yeah.
The Merck drug? Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it, and I don't know if they have a shorthand name for it yet. But it's the non-monoclonal antibody IV, the one that you can take by pill.
Right.
And the thing is, one of the doctors, who was a Yale obstetrician, said that she really wanted the FDA to approve it only for certain populations of people, not for everybody, because they were very concerned about pregnant women. And that came up quite a bit in the discussion. I'm just curious your take on all of this. And is 13-10 for you as an infectious disease doctor, is that sort of good enough for you to prescribe this drug for people, or are you personally going to take a wait and see?
No, if someone needed it, I would prescribe it. Of course, there's always the factor of pregnancy. Of course, I don't know the data on pregnant women and if they have data on that yet. I don't know if they've done trials with pregnant women. But
they have not yet. They have not
okay.
yet, yeah.
So there's always a risk, but, you know, there's a risk of life versus, you know, if it can help somebody who's severely ill get over COVID, I think then I definitely would prescribe it. Look, we've been giving medications from the beginning now with Regeneron. If you remember, that's what
sure.
Mr. Trump took.
Yep.
And to have a pill would be
amazing.
Unbelievable, you
yeah.
know, make big headroad. So I think there's another pill also on the way.
The Pfizer
pill.
Yeah, yeah.
Which to me sounds like it might be a little bit better, but we don't know yet. Also, they both say that they might be effective against the Omicron strain, but we'd rather not get COVID because we don't know the long-term effects of COVID. So first, the goal is not to get it. The second is, of course, if we get it, how can we treat it?
Okay,
it's amazing how fast science has worked to get these treatments out for all of us.
Okay, I think we've got another caller for you. Michael from Bridgeport. Michael, you've got a question for Dr. Deborah Smyth-Hansler, who is an infectious disease specialist. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I do. I'm just wondering why all you ever hear for
We can't hear you, Michael. Michael, this is not an acceptable connection. Speak into the phone, please.
How about now?
Much better. Go ahead.
I'm just wondering why when people talk about getting healthy and, you know, not getting COVID, it's all about taking vaccines and, you know, wearing a mask. But nobody ever talks about being healthy, exercising, taking vitamins, eating healthy, living a healthy lifestyle. That's never part of the discussion. when I think it really should be. That's a major part of being healthy. But you don't hear any, you know, Fauci or anybody telling people that. You know, the overwhelming majority of people in the ICU are overweight from COVID. That's a big factor, but it's never discussed.
That's a good point, Michael. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's always good to have a healthy lifestyle. Nobody ever said don't do that. But, of course, there are healthy people who are getting COVID, so we have to talk about treatments and prevention. But everybody agrees a healthy lifestyle is exercise, eating right, is all good for everything.
Right. And another, you know, vitamin D, studies have come out, it's huge. I think it's something like 80% of people who end up in the ICU are deficient in vitamin D. Like, it's a very simple thing for people to do is take that supplement. But it's never, I don't know, I don't hear it discussed anywhere. And I think it should be
talked
about.
I don't know enough research about it, so I wouldn't comment on that.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks for the call. You know, in general, Dr. Spicehandler, I think what Michael is getting at, and I do think it's worth saying, is that, you know, we have a country right now that is overwhelmingly obese. I mean, our very poor people, even people with hunger insecurity, are obese because of other kind of underlying policies and subsidies that have caused us to feed ourselves sugar and overwhelming carbohydrates and lead a much more sedentary lifestyle than we used to. I mean, you know, those are big, hard, you know, public health issues for us. And it very well may be that we would have had many fewer people die from COVID if we were altogether a healthier nation. It's possible.
Yeah. Well, certainly obesity has been a risk factor all along for worsening COVID, and especially in males. So I think that a healthy lifestyle is always good, but we need to keep our eye on the ball and keep our mask on, get vaccinated, and do our part to try to decrease the spread of COVID. I think that's all we can do, and hopefully let the scientists figure out this new variant and what the best approach is in the next couple of weeks.
We're chatting with Dr. Deborah Spicehandler. We still have people that want to talk to you and ask you questions. They're queuing up right now. Dr. Okay. Spicehandler is with Northern Westchester Hospital. She's the chief of infectious diseases there. And we're talking about Omicron and we're talking about vaccines. And I think that your message is very, very clear. You would like as many people as possible to get vaccinated. You would like us to get the booster. You would like us to not be afraid if there's another vaccine on the horizon, that as far as you're concerned, if we have to take four or five within a 12 or 16 month period, you're not concerned about that, are you?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Well, people will be asking the question, so that's why I'm asking you.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
All right, let's go to Donald from Bridgeport. Donald, you're on the air with the doctor.
Yes. I've been taking vitamins since I was 27 years old. And I take about 9.
Donald, you need to turn your radio down in the background.
Okay.
Donald, have you been vaccinated?
Yes.
Okay. So what is your question for the doctor?
Yeah, I was just trying to say that I've been taking vitamins ever since I was 27 years old. And I've never been on medication that much. For a shot concern, I've been taking all kinds of shots for different things that they tell me to do from the doctors. But most of the doctors I had, they had died out, you know. But I feel great. And I took all my shots. But I don't believe in, you know, like the guy was saying, you know, if you're not taking your vitamins, you're not going to be healthy as much. And like the doctor say, you know, you got to eat portions. Don't go eating a whole lot. You know, a lot of people eat a whole lot. And I watch them. The ones that are overfat, they just sit there and eat because that's what they live on.
Donald, you're funny. I get it. You're right, Donald. You sound like my father. You know what my father does when he's meticulous about his weight? And if he goes up a few pounds, he says, today I'm going to eat half.
Right.
And so he eats half a sandwich and half a bagel and half this for 3 days, and then the belly goes back down, and he's fine. But you know, Donald, not everybody has your discipline or the discipline of my father, who, God bless him, is 92 and looks 70. So I get it, and I think nobody's arguing with you, Donald. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Thanks. Thanks for the call. Dr. Spice Handler, wouldn't you like to have more patients like Donald? Be honest.
Yes.
Wouldn't you? Right? You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I get that totally. Well, I want to thank you for coming on. Is there any last message that you want to leave us right now with respect to what you know as a doctor that may not be widely disseminated yet?
I would say that the research is going on to find something that will work against Omicron if they find our vaccines are not as effective. I think we need to remember our basic infection control. We need to stay safe, wear masks, evaluate each situation when you get into the situation. If it's a crowded room, you may not want to go there now until we have more information. So I think that we have to resume some of the precautions that we've let down, especially with the holidays coming up. The good news is that there are quick tests available, so you still can gather if you take a test, and you can have some family get-togethers, which we couldn't have last year. But try to stay safe, be smart, take your vaccine, take your booster, and wear your masks.
Thank you very much, Dr. Deborah Spice Handler from Northern Westchester Hospital. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Bye, we're going to be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show. Stay tuned.